Okay, this morning, if you have your Bibles, we're going to pick up again in the 12th chapter of Matthew. And I've been kind of going back and forth just a little bit. And we're going to spend most of our time over in the book of Romans. And it's an unusual, let's put it this way. It's amazing to me how that once theologians make up their mind about something, no matter how much evidence is present, they will, they continue with the same thing. Now, years ago, I had mentioned this before, I had written an article about baptism from the sixth chapter of Romans. And typically at that point in time, most people would get water baptism out of the sixth chapter of Romans when it's really about spirit baptism, okay? About salvation in Jesus Christ. And I let Dr. Reed, who was quite a notable ophthalmologist, I let him read my article, and it says very well written and all of that, but I don't agree with it. And I didn't ask him why he didn't agree, but the very fact that I have a great deal of respect for his understanding of Scripture. He was, even though he was an ophthalmologist, he had been a believer, and he got into the Word of God, and he showed a great deal of understanding. So I started doing some research, and my research produced this, and I'm going to read it to you. It's a little bit of an article that I wrote in one of my chapters for articles on the origin of sin. I wrote this pamphlet, and it says, listed below is an excerpt from Pastor Andre's article on the origin of sin. This information will be helpful in locating and identifying the use of the noun sin in the singular with the definite article as it's found in the Greek text of our New Testament, when reading any English translation of the New Testament. In most instances, this construction has not been translated by the King James translators, or any other translator for that matter. For more information about the doctrine of these sin, consider the following. The noun sin, which is in Greek, it's harmartia, is found 174 times in the New Testament. In the references below, which are, there are 48 references here in the book of Romans, or throughout the New Testament, I should put it that way. In the 48 references below, it is in the singular, and it includes the definite article. So it's not talking about sin. Is talking about the sin, a particular sin, okay? And so, continuing, it is found with this particular construction 30 times in Romans, 6 times in the Gospel of John, 4 times in Hebrews, 3 times in 1 John, 2 times in 1 Corinthians, and once in each of the following Acts, 2 Thessalonians, and James. The 30 references in Romans are found between chapter 5 and verse 12 and Romans 8:3, with 4 in chapter 5, 14 in chapter 6, 10 in chapter 7, and 2 in chapter 8. So that's as far as I'm going to read here. Now, when you look at it, what does the definite article do for us in English? If I say, we're going to go look at, well, I want to keep it in the singular. I saw a house. That could be any house. But then we went to Washington, and I saw the house. And what would I more than likely be referring to? The White House, a specific house, right? So specificity, if that is a word, comes from the definite article. You're not talking about any sin. You're talking about a specific sin. And when we look at the Jews and their relationship with the Lord, they, along with all of us, when we ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you say, I never ate of it. Yes, you did, because your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, the original origin of the human family, you know, Adam, ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So what did Adam gain when he ate of that tree? He gained the sin. Now, what was specifically the sin? Well, the tree was called a tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. By definition, what is a knowledge of good and evil? It's man's morality. And it didn't come from God. It came from the devil. He planted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil next to the tree of life. And then, let's go back to the third chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, or we would put it this way, did God really say that you can't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? No. Now, what's that? Putting a question like that, what does that do? It immediately puts doubt in Eve's mind as to what God actually said. So let's watch the whole thing unfold now and think about all of the religions of the world. And they're all based upon what came from that tree, the knowledge of good and evil. What, by definition, is the knowledge of good and evil? It's man's morality. But man's morality varies, according to an online source, that there are 4,000 different systems of morality in the world. Now, many things are the same. But all you have to have a new system is one thing be different. So there's 4,000 different forms of morality in the world. And what does man's morality, because of the lie of the devil, what does it promise? It promises a relationship with God. If you're good, the religions of the world, you know, say if you're a Muslim, I don't want to mean to say Muslim, let's take a Hindu. Well, if you're born into this world as an untouchable, that's the lowest class in Hinduism, and you're absolutely miserable, and most of them will maim themselves so that they can beg and get a little sympathy because of the injuries that they have. But they, no matter what they do in their lifetime, cannot change their status. They're, all of life, they are untouchables. Now, in Hinduism, they teach, okay, you live this life, you die, and then you are reincarnated. You might be reincarnated in all kinds of forms, according to what they teach. But the ultimate reincarnation is to be a high Hindu. And if you're a high Hindu, then you have a relationship with God. So is there any difference between that and saying, oh, we must not drink, we must not smoke, we must not spit, we must not chew, all of the things that naughty boys and girls do. Those things, we're not supposed to do that. And if we're good enough, then what's supposed to happen? Well, we're all supposed to eventually see Peter at the gate of heaven, and he will look at the things that we do or have done and determine whether we're good enough to enter heaven. Is that true? No. That's a direct contradiction of Jesus' statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and what? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, who is Jesus Christ? Well, he's God incarnate. It says in 1 John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What is a word? It's an expression of something. If we have, this is my cup. It's tangible. You can see it. Okay? But you can't see my thoughts. I can express my thoughts to you and as I express them. So we have things that are tangible and intangible in our makeup. And they can be communicated. Okay? Now, if we go back to our, let me finish this with in Genesis. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, what did God say? God has forbidden them to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, there's an assumption made, and we don't really get the answer till we look at the parable of the sower in the book of Matthew. But an assumption is made since God created everything, that God created the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but that's not true because the scripture says that God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was a definite temptation. So then when we read about the parable of the sower, did you not sow good seed in your field? Then whence hath it tares? Well, the answer is, men slept, an enemy came and sowed tares in the field. Now, what are tares? And wheat is, the common name for tares is bastard wheat. It looks like wheat while it's growing, but then when it heads up into its seed, it stands straight up. And if you've ever watched, driven up past the wheat fields on your way to Junction City in the summertime, particularly late in the year, now if it hasn't been harvested already, the wheat is bowed over heavy with seed. But the tares are standing straight up. So in religion, man says things like this, God, I thank you that I'm not like our other men are. I do this, I do that, I don't do this, I don't do that. That's what the rich young ruler, who was later saved, I believe the rich young ruler was the Apostle Paul, because he was rich, he was young, and Saul of Tarsus was a ruler, a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin Council. Okay. So, in this temptation then, the woman set herself up to be deceived. That's why over in the book of Second, I can't remember now, I think it's Second Timothy, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man. No. Now, it isn't that women aren't smart, or that they don't have the intelligence. They do. But because the woman was deceived in the garden, God says, I put her in subjection to the man. Well, in the day in which we live with all of this women's lib stuff and all that type of thing, we honor women. The more the freedom that women have, that seems the less there is to honor. I mean, we just go crazy now. I was talking to Sharon about, back in the 60s when I was working for Sneed Sound Service for a little while. On Saturdays, I'd go to the football game because the games were in Hayward Field. We didn't have Autzen Stadium then. And there was a public address system in Hayward Field. But the cheerleaders, and they actually led cheers back in those days. They weren't dancing girls. But, they needed a public address to talk to the students as to what yell they were going to do. Like, give me the axe where? Right in the neck there. And everybody knew them, But nobody cheers like that anymore. They just cheer for the highest kicking gal. I mean, it's like a burlesque show. And I don't know how I got on that subject. Get yourself out of it, Dale. And it was really tough duty to have to sit down there amongst and run the sound system. Okay. All right, now, I want to read a couple of more verses here, and then we're going to go back to our text. What people don't understand is all sin began in the Garden of Eden. It began with Eve. But Eve was taken from Adam's side. So Adam produced, or God produced Eve from Adam's side, a rib. Okay? So that means that Adam is the federal head. Now, what do we mean by federal head? We speak of a federal government. We have an election and so on and so forth. But once they make a law, whether we agree with it or not, we're bound to do what? We're bound to keep it, okay? So that government sets laws. So a judicial action. So when Eve ate of the tree, she was damned forever, with no hope of salvation. But then she gave also to her husband, and he did eat. Now the scripture says in the New Testament, as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. What does that tell us? Well, if one person can plunge us into sin, and Adam did, then one person, God who became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, so that he could be related to us, but without our sin nature. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, the importance of what we're doing here, and we'll see it when we get back in Romans, is that all religion, every single one, except biblical truth, it all came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's why in college we have comparative religion classes. We compare one with another, and there are similarities, but they're not exactly the same. But they're all based upon man's morality. Okay? So, continuing here, And the woman said unto the serpent, verse 2, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. God didn't say that. But she's trying to, you know, when you get in an argument and you get put in the corner and the other person's getting an advantage to you, you kind of throw in some extra stuff that you made up to make your argument look a little stronger. Well, that's exactly what Eve did. And when she did that, she made herself vulnerable because she departed from the truth to something that seemed right to her. Okay. And so, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. God didn't say they couldn't touch it. They were supposed to care for all of the trees of the garden. Yeah. And the serpent said unto the woman, I'll put it this way, would a loving God send anyone to hell? How many times have you heard that? No, but what a loving God did, yes, he will, but so that no one need go to hell, a loving God, through the virgin birth, became a man so that he could be related to us, so that he could offer himself as a ransom or a sacrifice for our sin, because without the shedding of blood is no remission or no payment. So a loving God became a man and stood in our stead in life, fulfilling every jot and tittle of the law, and then stood in our stead in death and bore the judgment of our sins when in him was no sin at all. Okay. And so it's offered to us how? The scripture says in Ephesians, for by what? Grace. Grace is unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. For by grace are you saved. Through what? Faith. Through faith. And faith cometh by what? Hearing. That's why we like to get as many people as we can under the sound of the gospel. And we put our messages online so that they can be listened to. And the books that I've written so that they can be read. But faith comes by hearing. And, you know, and that's the only way a person can be saved, because how are we born into this world? We're born into this world dead. You say, well, I know that little baby was alive. No, that baby was alive physically, but spiritually dead. Well, you say, how could an innocent baby be dead in trespasses and in sin? Because the blood that flowed in Adam's veins flows in that baby's veins, and sin is transmitted through the blood. And that shows the omniscience of God. You know, he knew when he created the universe that he would eventually create, you know, our present solar system and so forth, and that the devil would deceive man when he would, or woman, and then man would eat because of his love for the woman and plunge the human race into sin. But an interesting thing, ladies, when you get pregnant, the baby that's in your womb, not one drop of your blood is involved with that baby. All of the blood comes because of the genetic structure of the way we're put together. It all comes from the Father. So that's why the scripture says, as in Adam, all die. Adam is head over Eve because Eve came from his side. See, so, and we came from Adam through the process of birth. So we're all born how? According to the scriptures, we're born dead in trespasses and in sin. You don't have to do anything to be a sinner. You're going to do things because you're born dead in trespasses and sin. You can't help it. It's your nature to sin. You know, when your kids start lying to you, who put syrup in the in the dog's water dish. Not I. Well, the Family Circus, that cartoon. The little unknown person in the house, not me. Every house has a whole bunch of not me's in it. But, you know, you may have done it, but you say, not me. Okay? You don't want to admit it. Okay. So, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, this is what the servant is saying. By knowing the difference between right and wrong, morality, you can be like God. What are the religions of the world teach? They all teach that you can be like God by the life that you live. But there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So how do we take care of the sin problem? And that's the thing I was pointing out with the blood supply. God chose us, the scripture says, those of us that will be saved. He chose us in Christ when? Before the foundation of the world. Before there was anything. God is an omniscient God. I wrote the, and I would recommend, if you didn't read the bulletin today, be sure and read it. There's certain attributes of God that I pointed out in the bulletin today. So, God knew exactly what we would do, and everything was designed so that when he created Adam, and he knew that they would sin, and then, of course, then by marriage they would propagate, and there would be people on the earth. And we know about three sons of Adam. We don't know about the rest of the family, but in the fifth chapter of Genesis, it says they had sons and daughters. Yeah. And they had to. You know, three boys can't produce. But the reason we mentioned the three boys in Genesis is because this book is God's unfolding drama or drama of redemption. It's God's story how that redemption or salvation is necessary. Well, Adam was created in the image of God, but because of Eve's sin and Adam's love for Eve, so Adam was a type of Christ in that he put himself into sin, which gave God, now Adam is a sinner, the whole human family are sinners, so that if Christ is born into the human family through a woman, he won't have a sin nature, but he will be related to us, you know, without the sin nature that we have. And so God became a man through the virgin birth, and he lived his life on this earth as a Jew under the law, and he's the only Jew who ever kept the law. Moses, who wrote it, got it from God's, from his very hand, never kept the law. No one, Old Testament or New Testament, except Jesus Christ, who is God, no one could and no one ever did keep the law, but Christ kept it. Now, because he kept it, all of the blessings that were promised to Israel in the law belong to us who are saved by grace. If we believe that Christ died for our sins, that gives us salvation. And because of that, the scripture says we're heirs and what? Joint heirs or co-heirs with Christ. So everything that belongs to Christ belongs to us. It doesn't belong to us because of anything that we've done, because God gave us the faith to believe. So when we get to that place where the gospel's preached, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that paid for sin. Now, Christ fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, so all of the blessings that were promised to the Jews under law all belong to Jesus Christ. And because we are heirs and co-heirs with Christ, they belong to us. They don't belong to us because of performance. They belong to us because of his performance, and what is his becomes ours by God's grace through faith. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall be as God. So that's the basis of all of the religions of the world, knowing good and evil. Each system has its own code of ethics. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and it was a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of it, of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So the whole human family is plunged into sin. Now, God takes them aside, and he makes an offering for their sin. Remember, when they ate of the tree, the first thing that their knowledge of good and evil did was produce in them guilt because they were naked. Now, they'd been naked from the day that they'd been created. There wasn't a problem because no sin nature. But now, all of a sudden, they see something wrong with their nakedness, so they have to cover it up. Well, the only thing they had to cover it up with was fig leaves. Well, they're big enough to do the job, and they're pliable enough to do the job for a few days, but then they'll dry and crumble away, and you're, what, naked again. And every human system of trying to satisfy God by the works of man's hands is revealed in those fig leaves. Oh, if I do this good thing, that'll make me accepted. But then it falls away. It cannot satisfy the holiness and the righteousness and the justice of God. And it certainly cannot satisfy the fact that God is love. The scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So God in his omniscience knew exactly, from all eternity, because the scripture says of Christ that he was crucified when? Before the foundation of the world. Before there was any universe, God existed. And God brought it into existence in his time, his way. And when we read the account in Genesis, he spoke it into existence. God is an omniscient being, that is, he knows everything. He's omnipotent, and he has the power to do anything that's consistent with his will. And he's omnipresent, he's everywhere present at once. He's holy, he's righteous, he's just. And all of those attributes become ours when the Spirit of God causes the Word of God to be quickened to our hearts so that we realize who Jesus is. He's God who died for my sins. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and what? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, let's go back to our text in Romans. And the sixth chapter. Now we've talked about the sin introduced in the fifth chapter. So that in Adam all die. So in Christ all are made alive. So it says in the first verse of the sixth chapter of Romans. And this, the reason I'm teaching from Romans is the Jews were infused with the thought. When God gave the Jews the opportunity to be under the law, they heard it first. It was given audibly first. And then Moses went to the mount and got it on tablets of stone. And what did the Jews say before Moses went to the mount? All that the Lord has spoken, what? We will do. Now, what should they have said? If I'm put in that position, or you're put in that position, and even our thoughts You know, you don't have to commit an act. You don't have to be a murderer to be a murderer. You know, if you hate someone without a cause, that makes you a murderer. You know, you don't have, you know, anything. You don't have to be physically an adulterer to commit adultery, because you can look at a woman in your heart and lust after her, and that makes you an adulterer. So God looks at things, you know, your thoughts are just as bad as your actions, and sometimes they're worse. Yeah, that's who we are. So we know we can't save ourselves. I'm a terrible swimmer. And a couple of times in my life, I got myself in trouble trying to swim. Bone doesn't, you know, when I was in high school, I don't think I ever weighed over 125 pounds. Yeah. And I was taller then than I am now. I think I'm 5'7 now. I used to be 5'8 and a half. Yeah. But 125 pounds, pretty lean. Yeah. I could go to the swimming pool and say, everybody says you can float. Okay. I lay in the water, and as long as I moved my hands, I'd float. And I said, watch, I'll quit moving them. And I could sink clear to the bottom, no matter how deep the water was. Yeah. Bone doesn't float. So I suppose that's the reason that I never, you know, I was never comfortable in water, because I had to constantly, you know, I could lay on my back and float, but I still had to move my hands. You know. Okay. What should we say then? You know, if you're concerned with whether you're a sinner or not, and I guarantee you that you are, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in the sin? What is the sin? The concept that I can be like God by my life. What is the basis of every religious system in the world except biblical Judaism and biblical Christianity? In biblical Judaism, Christ was portrayed in the animal sacrifices. The law condemned them. The sacrifices provided a ransom for sin in time, you know, to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ in the fullness of time, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. So we're born dead in trespasses and sin. Christ became a man, and he could become a man with sinless blood, because there's not one drop of a woman's blood in her baby. If the two blood supplies get mixed, you're going to have a miscarriage. Okay? So the blood that flows in your baby comes from the Father, which came from Adam, which is corrupted with a sin nature. Therefore, we're born now dead in trespasses and sin. So he goes on here, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ? Now, we portray the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord in water baptism. If I take a candidate and we're standing in a pool, and I ask them if they've trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they affirm that they have, then based upon, you know, the fact that I baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I push them over into the water once backwards. How are we buried? Face up, right? Okay. So that's burial. Now, if I get a little energetic, like in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, when one of the guys went down there, the preacher kept praying and praying. After he had the candidate under the water, he's kicking and all kinds of stuff. Finally comes up. That may not be an Oh Brother, Where Art Thou. But But the bottom line is what? We can't live underwater. Isn't that amazing? I thought evolution was supposed to give us the best of everything. And if we're supposed to come out of the sea, how come we lost our gills? And the fish with his gills, you catch one, you know, I get a kick out of that program, Alaska, the Last Frontier. They're catching fish, and that one gal, she takes a club and beats the hell out of them to, you know. But then if they shoot a deer, oh, they thank the deer. And you're going to eat the fish, and the fish has life the same as the deer. What's the difference? Boy, you talk about man and his hypocrisy. Yeah. Anyway, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. What's that mean? That means in God's, omniscience and foreknowledge, that when Christ died, God counts everyone who will believe on Jesus Christ, he counted us to have died with him. And he counted us to have been buried with him. And he counted us to have been raised with him. That's what we portray in baptism. Baptism doesn't say. It's just a portrayal of what we believe. So I put you underwater. You can't breathe there. And then I bring you up out of water. So into death and out of death. To walk out in newness of life. What's the newness of life? Oh, I can't smoke, I can't drink, I can't spit, I can't chew, and all that kind of stuff. No, the newness of life is the just shall live by faith. And faith cometh how? By hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So the Word of God tells us who we are, what we are. And by faith, we recognize that we're sinners. And by faith, we recognize that Christ died for our sin. When God quickens that or makes it alive to our minds. Up till that time, we're dead in trespasses and in sin. So, therefore, we were buried, is past tense here in the Greek. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism, ended death, that like us Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, how are the just to live? The just are to live by faith. What was the manner of life of the Jews? It was supposed to be by faith. But they said, all that the Lord has spoken, what? We will do. Now, if I go back, or you can do it afterwards because our time's gone. Read the 20th chapter of Exodus. And if you can read that chapter without being convinced of your own sin nature, there's something wrong with you. all the law demands from us, I'll put it this way, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Anybody want to claim that? No, we can't claim that. But in Christ, we're declared to be that. We're to be declared to be as righteous as he is righteous, as just as he is just. Now, I'm dealing with this sin, and I hope to get a little bit further today than I did. But all sin comes from that singular sin. And that singular sin is the basis for the way that man thinks apart from the gospel. Man thinks that he can make himself fit for God's presence by the life that he lived. He has to be very foolish in that. And I'll show you why he's foolish. We have very vivid dreams. Dreams about things we say when we wake up. Where in the world did that come from? It wasn't our will that we would dream that way. Might have been. But we have a sin nature. And from that sin nature, that manifests that even in our subconscious state, which is manifested in dreams. See? So when the scripture says, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, that's all of us. There's no one in this room is going to heaven because they're good. If you're going to heaven, you're going to heaven because the Spirit of God caused you to believe that Christ, who is God, died for you. He shed his blood for you. And he was buried, and he raised himself from the dead. And because he lives, what? We shall live also. Well, I spent too much time on the porch. We're going to tie these chapters in Genesis or in Matthew together with this particular sin. So we're going to go all the way through to the 8th chapter in Romans while we're still in Matthew, so that we can see it's not personal sin that causes our death. And it's not personal righteousness that causes our life. It's Adam's sin that caused our death, and the person and work of Jesus Christ who shed his blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no payment or no remission for sin. So in Christ all, or in Adam all die, in what? In Christ, all who are in Christ are made alive. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word and for salvation. And we know we're sinful people with the nature that everybody in this world has. But then because of the of salvation in Jesus Christ and the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, there are some changes made so that we don't necessarily run to the same excess of riot that we formerly did. But if we should say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We praise you and thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.